Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. 70,000 people had died because of the plague that was on the people. The angel of God is now over Jerusalem and has the sword raised to even take more lives. And David, of course, is in awe. David, in the Bible says, the elders, they fall down before God in clothed in sackcloth. David has to be thinking, they have to be thinking, if only the tabernacle were there, they could offer a sacrifice. If only the tabernacle were close. But the tabernacle, the Bible is very clear to say in verse 29, the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. It was miles away in another location. David's trying to find out, how can we ever stop this plague? How can we stop what God has put forth because of David's sin? And David obviously is very, very frustrated and doesn't know what to do. I'm so glad God told him what to do. I'm so glad God always tells us what to do. He always tells us exactly what we need to do. And that is the passage that we come to where the Lord makes it very clear. The angel of the Lord, verse 18, commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. I know David was trying to find, how can we stop this plague? How can we end this thing? I mean, people are dying, and you know, David feels bad. It was his sin of numbering the people that brought all this on in the first place, and you know he's very, very frustrated. He doesn't know what to do, but God always makes a way. Amen. And you know, I love this story in the Bible because I love the way that God always makes a way. The tabernacle, that's how they always met with God. That's how David would meet with God. He knew that, and yet it's miles away. There's no, what are we going to do? We can't use the tabernacle that we've always used. And God said, oh, I'll figure it out. I'll make a way. And he always makes a way, just like he made a way for us to be saved. Just like he's made a way in all of our lives, different times, out of the valley. God always makes a way. I want to talk to you about the words in verse 1. He says, this is the house of the Lord God. I want to talk to you about the house of the Lord. Father, thank you for making a way. Thank you for always making a way. And Lord, I know that you are as concerned and more concerned, obviously, with the plague than we would ever be. You are more concerned with the result of sin than we could possibly be. You are the one who sent your son Jesus to die on a cross to pay for our sins, to stop the plague, because the wages of sin is death. I'm so glad that you've made a way for there to be life. And so please now help us to follow this story in the Bible and the words of God. Please use them in our hearts and our lives to work in us the work that you choose to do. And speak to us today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is amazing what all takes place here. This is not the tabernacle. This is not how God had set up the way that the people were to meet with God, and it was not how that was. It was different. God said, "I want you, David. I want you to set up an altar in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." I'm sure that there were many that looked and said, you know, that is not normal. That just is not the best thing. Doesn't make sense. I mean, a threshing floor, you know, that's not a very fancy thing. Well, you have to understand that we get all kinds of ideas because the Bible says this in verse 1 of chapter 22. This is the house of the Lord God. What is this threshing floor? This place where oxen have trampled corn to separate the grain and the chaff, this place, that is the house of God. And for now, David, this is the house of God. Hey, if you want to stop the plague, this is how you're going to stop the plague. You're going to have to set up an altar here. This is going to be the house of God. Well, what about the tabernacle? What about, no. This, he said, this is the house of God. of the Lord right here. Remember this, folks. The church is a called out assembly. It's not a building. The church is an assembly of people. And never, you know, I mean, certainly we refer to a church building as a church, but the church itself is people. It's a group of people. It's a called out from the world, called out to be saved. People that are saved that assemble together. And let's remind ourselves, and we must be reminded over and over again, that this called out, we're supposed to assemble. There's a reason to assemble, just like David had to assemble here at the threshing floor of Ornan. David had to assemble. Why? Stop the plague. And we need to assemble to stop the plague. We need to assemble to stop the wages of sin. And the only way to stop that is by giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and by people being born again. There isn't any other way. This is, he said, the house of the Lord. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. We've used a lot of these passages in talking about giving. The Bible says this, says, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so, wherever we assemble, it's the house of God. Doesn't matter where we assemble. It's the house of God. Doesn't matter where we gather. The Bible says that it is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. In most of the Old Testament, God met with the people in the tabernacle. But again, in verse 29, very, very clearly, David couldn't take advantage of the tabernacle. Tabernacle was off in Gibeon. Tabernacle was miles away. David, what are you going to do? God says, you know what? You don't have to meet in the tabernacle. You don't have to use the tabernacle. You can just set up right here. God is not as interested in the place as he's interested in the assembly and who is assembling. God is not concerned so much with the building itself or where everybody meets. God is concerned with what goes on when you meet. God's concerned with the assembly, that is, the church, and the church needs a place. Amen? And so God made it very clear. David, right here. I'm sure, you know, you have to understand, there's oxen at the threshing floor. It's not a pretty place, and I'll describe it here in a minute. It's not by far, it's not what we would choose. It's not what we would think. Again, where there's animals, there's the animal waste. There's the smells of a farm. There's the smells of the animals. There's the chaff. It's dirty. It's not. But God said, you know what? You have a job to do. And the most important thing right now is not how pretty everything is. The most important thing is not how good everybody feels. The most important thing, God says, is that the plague be stopped. There is nothing more important than to stop the plague. And you know, it's, and so they built the altar there, exactly what God told him to do. Build the altar right here. You know, one day, where that altar was, and again, it sure doesn't look like that now as we read this passage, but one day, years and years later, the temple would be built right there. But not yet. He said, for now, just build the altar there. And again, you know, you notice in verse 1 of chapter 22, this is the house of the Lord God and this is the altar of the burnt offering. What's the most important thing? It always starts with the altar. It always starts with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He dies on the cross. He pays for our sins. Tonight we'll observe the Lord's Supper right here. And what are we going to do? We're going to go back to that altar. We're going to go back to Jesus dying and paying for our sins. It always starts with the altar. Hey, if you're going to meet with God, you must be born again. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you've got to get saved. If you're going to talk to God, if you're going to walk with God, if you're going to have the wonderful life that we can have, you know, it starts with getting saved. It starts with the altar. It starts with realizing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. And we must call upon him to save our souls. It always starts with the altar. And so it just makes sense in chapter 22. This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And years before that would become the temple, it first was an altar. An altar to do what? Stop the plague. Stop the plague. Number one, we see the plague. The plague. You know the story. David committed the sin of numbering the people. And it was an interesting choice that he made, but it was an interesting scenario that God put him under. He gave David a choice as to the punishment for the sin. And so God allowed David to choose between three different punishments. One was that the people, and by the way, it was the people. It wasn't just David would be judge, it was everybody. And let me remind you of something, and often in the Bible we're reminded that our sin involves other people. We're very, very rarely are we just by ourselves in our sin and the punishment that takes place. When the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it affects a lot of people. You're not alone. You know, you may think, well, I can sin, and well, you know, if I suffer for it, so what? I'm, you know, I can handle it. Let me tell you something. You're not alone. Somebody else is going to suffer too. Somebody else is going to hurt too. Somebody else is going to pay as well as you. Sin is a terrible, terrible, deceitful thing where we somehow think we're the only ones affected. I'm reminded of Achan's sin, and as we read of Achan being stoned to death, we recognize his whole family's in there too. And it affected everybody. Just like David, he has a choice here between three punishments, and one of them is famine for 3 years. In other words, there will be a drought, and there will be no food. 3 years, people will die. He knew that. Another choice God gave him was that the enemies of them would conquer them and overcome them for 3 years. And so that was a choice. And the other thing was that God himself would bring a plague upon the people, a disease of some type, and that would last for 3 days. Now, it's interesting because David, and this is a whole other message, but David said, let me now fall into the hand of the Lord. He chose the plague because that was the one punishment that was going to be directly in the hands of God. And it is interesting that verse 15 says, God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it, and as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough, stay now thine hand, right at Jerusalem, right at that threshing floor. God said, wait a minute. Let's see if David wants to, you know, you see the mercy of God. 70,000 have already died as a result of sin, but we see, and David, he chose right, didn't he? Let me now fall into the hand of the Lord. And so the Lord stops right here. And that's what David had chosen. And so 70,000 died as the result of sin. Now let's understand, there's a plague today. And the plague is worldwide. It's not just in the United States of America. It's not just other countries. It's not just in rich homes or poor homes. Or it's everybody. It's the whole world. And the plague is the result of the wages of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And here's the thing, folks. Satan wants us to forget about that plague. Right. Satan wants us to forget that people are dying and going to hell. He wants us to forget that most of Lenawee County, the people are dying and going to hell. He wants us to forget that the people where you work, most of them are dying and going to hell. That your relatives, many of them are dying and going to hell. They have been smitten by the plague, the result of sin. And they are dying and going to hell. He wants us to forget that most of our neighbors are dying and going to hell. He would love for us to forget about the plague. But as David stood and saw the angel of the Lord and saw the sword that was drawn and knew that 70,000 had already died, folks, we must stand and we must recognize that the angel of the Lord, the wages of sin is death, and people are dying and going to hell all around us. Amen. The plague, it's very, very strong today. and Satan wants us to forget. You know, everything amazed me because David obviously, you know, he could have said, you know what, I guess it's just going to happen. Are you listening? He could have just said, well, I guess that's just how it is. You know, folks are just going to die and they're just going to go to hell. He could have stopped and he could have said, you know, this is a terrible, terrible thing, but obviously I'm not affected, so, you know, I'm going to go do my thing. He could have just gone his own way and forgotten about the whole thing, but instead he saw the angel of the Lord and he knew the sword was raised and that Jerusalem was at his feet and that it would just be a matter of one swoop of that sword and more people would die. Do you understand? Every tick of the clock, people are dying. People are dying. People you know. Neighbors, coworkers, loved ones, they're dying. And you see, the reason we're here, the reason we are Berean Baptist Church is to stop the plague in somebody's life. It's to stop the plague when they're just a little child and bring them on a bus and bring them to church where they can hear how to be saved. It's to stop the plague as a shepherd in the shepherd's ministry, as a prisoner in a jail. It's to stop the plague as somebody who just happens to walk in and visit and they hear the gospel, how to be saved. It's to stop the plague. That's why we're here. That's why we were left behind. You see, the building, it doesn't matter. What matters is stopping the plague. The building is not the issue. It never has been the issue. The building is not the goal. It is to stop the plague, the result of sin. And we have the gospel to do that. We have the Word of God to show people. We have the means. We have the method. And it's never been about what kind of building to be in. It's simply to stop the plague. The only hope for Jerusalem. The only hope, as God in His mercy said, whoa, 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 wait, angel, hold on. Let me see what man will do. And God in heaven, do you understand that we should have died and gone to hell, every one of us? We do not deserve. Sometimes Christians get the attitude that a lot of Americans, well, I deserve. No, listen to me. We deserve hell. It is by the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, because we would boast. It was the grace of God, the mercy of God that he stopped it. Whoa, whoa, wait! Let's see what man will do. David could have said, well, the tabernacle's far away and there's nothing I can do about it. And you know, a lot of Christians have this attitude. There's nothing I can do about it. People are going to go to hell. But there is something you can do about it. And we assemble here according to God's will because God has said, okay, I will send my son to die on a cross and he will die and he will be buried and he will rise again so men can be saved. And God said, I'm going to put a group of people, I'm going to see that they get together and let's see what they do when they get together. Will they take that message out and stop the plague or will they just kind of say, well, you know, the tabernacle's far off and there's nothing we can do about it? Will they worry about their building? Will they worry about, the where and how nice and all of that? Or will they get serious about stopping the plague? You see, the only hope for Jerusalem, according to the Bible, verse 16, David lifted up his eyes. He saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. And then David and the elders of Israel who were clothed in sackcloth fell upon their faces. In verse 27, it's so clear. The Bible says, the Lord commanded the angel and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. But what took place that caused him to do that? The difference, David built the altar. The difference that we can make is we can take the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's the difference. The difference is the sacrifice. We must preach Jesus crucified. We must teach Jesus crucified. We must tell. We must give out gospel tracts. We must go door to door. We must run the buses. We must bring people in and preach Jesus crucified, buried, risen again. Amen. And you see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we do it up there or down here or out there. It's the reason we're here. God gives us a building. God gives us walls and ceilings and roofs. And He allows us, but none of that has anything to do with stopping the plague. The stopping of the plague is based upon Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. He died so we could be saved. And if we're not careful, we can get all wrapped up. You know, sometimes I think God in heaven pokes holes in our roof to remind us not only of who He is, but what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. Because the whole thing's about stopping the plague. And I'm a little uncomfortable, but we should be uncomfortable. You know, it is an uncomfortable. You think David was comfortable? Do you think David, as he considers the threshing floor of Ornan, and that this is the house of God? Do you suppose he was just a tad uncomfortable? Yeah. You see, but he knew. He saw that sword. You know, when's the last time you saw the sword raised? Remember crying for lost souls? Remember weeping? Remember taking several hours out of your week and telling people about Jesus? Remember always having in your pocket, fellas, always having tracts to give out? Remember, ladies, in your purse, always having tracts to hand out so people could hear that they don't have to die in the plague? Remember when it really mattered? You see, people can hear the gospel in the auditorium, in the fellowship hall, out on the streets, in the fair tent, in the hospital, in a funeral home, in the jail, in the prison, in the nursing home, anywhere. The key is stop the plague. There's a way. God said, here's the way. Now, will you do it? Will you do it? Number one, the plague. Number two is the plan. The plan. And God, I'm always amazed how God has a plan. He always has a plan. Amen. No matter how things don't seem like it works out for us, God has a plan. And verse 18, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And you know, I love the fact David didn't say, huh? You know David was thinking, if only the tabernacle were near, we could consult with God. God could hear us. And God's, no, here's what I want you to do. Do this. David doesn't argue. He just does what God said. Why? Because he wants to see the plague stopped. And God had a plan. 70,000 had already died. But the thing I love about this passage is God wanted it to stop. Don't you love that in verse 15? God wanted it to stop. God didn't want this to happen. God, the Bible says about salvation, God is not willing that any should perish. And so God made a way by sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross. Understand, God doesn't want your loved one to die and go to hell. God doesn't want your co-worker to die and go to hell. God doesn't want your neighbor to die and go to hell. No, God is not willing that they perish. But what are you going to do about it? You see, 72 years ago, God put this church in this place, in this town, in this county, to stop the plague. That was God's desire, to stop the plague. Somebody has to be a beacon of light to let people know that the plague does not have to take them to hell. They can be saved. How easy it is to lose sight of folks going to hell. How easy it is to lose sight of the angel with the sword raised that will swoop down and will take a soul to hell that we might have reached Have we not been worried about all kinds of other things that have absolutely nothing to do with the plague? David could have got, there's so many things he could have done, but he focused on that angel standing above Jerusalem. Why don't you get outside of Adrian, and as you approach the city sometime, just park your car, just stop somewhere, maybe on a little country road, and look out at Adrian and try to imagine a death angel standing over the city of Adrian or over the county of Linaway. And a death angel, they're ready to swoop down, and lives are going to be lost, and people are going to die and go to hell. You used to see it, but how long has it been? How long has it been since you saw that sight? And that was the most important thing. That was the thing that you woke up in the morning and you thought, people are going to hell where I work. People are going to hell in our neighborhood. And you thought, people are going to hell in my family. How long has it been since that gripped your soul? Well, listen, God has a plan. It's so easy to lose sight. It's so easy to get our eyes on all kinds of other things. Satan loves to, get us looking at, oh, I wonder what they're up to, I wonder what they're doing, and we lose sight of people are going to hell. I guarantee, it's like, we're not in our auditorium. What's going to happen? Well, the King James Bible is still the King James Bible. Amen. And we're still preaching the Word of God. And it doesn't matter if you're in the auditorium. It doesn't matter where you are. The key is the what, not the where. That's the key. I want to stop the plague. That should be your desire. That should be our desire. His plan. His plan is this, is to assemble us somewhere to stop the plague in our area. To assemble us so we can go out as an army and do all we can to stop the plague in our area. Folks, let's get our eyes on that thing again. Amen. The sword drawn, ready to swoop down, and more people die and go to a devil's hell for all eternity. And we need to do something about the plague. God has a plan. God has a plan. And years ago, He started Berean Baptist Church so that we could assemble and we can do something about the plague. That's why the buses are out there. There's no other reason for those buses out there. Okay? It's nice to have them for transportation. It's nice to go on some of these trips and different things like that. Those are all nice things. And I hear all the time, the church is supposed to provide, all these different... No, it's not. It's nice if that happens. That's okay. It's not a bad thing. But what are we here for? Amen. We're here to stop the plague. That's what we're... Well, you need to entertain my teenager. You need to be a dad or a mom. Amen. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to assemble as an army and stop the plague. That's what we're supposed to do. We've given in to so much junk that is being spread as far as other beliefs and thinking and worldly thoughts and stuff. We're here to stop the plague. Listen to me. Folks, when I got saved, it would have been wonderful if God would have just taken me to heaven. Amen? Well, think about it. Think about God just taking you to heaven right after you get saved. But He left us here to be a light. He left us here to tell others, hey, you've been bit. You've got a plague. You're going to die. You're going to go to hell. But you don't have to. You don't have to go to hell. And so again, God says, hey, here's a threshing floor. It doesn't smell very good. Yeah, but it'll work. Just build an altar. What's He saying? Preach the gospel. Amen. What's He saying? The blood still works. What's He saying? Jesus still saves. What's He saying? People's lives can be changed. And so we see the plague, we see the plan, and then the last thing, we see the place. And it just amazes me. Because I've said this. This right here would thrill pastors all across America. This. The auditorium's beautiful. We've been complimented many, many times on our auditorium, how beautiful it is. But this right here, this room right here, what do you suppose Ben would do to have a room like this? He'd love it, wouldn't he? He would be thrilled to have this room. I'm missionaries all across the world, pastors in the United States of America meeting in little storefronts, meeting in Seventh-day Adventist buildings, meeting in movie theaters, not watching the movies, having church. Oh, yeah. Meeting in buildings that have been condemned by others. And I'm talking about pastors in America. I'm talking about people meeting in tents in America. They'd love this. Now, I'm not preaching this because I think anybody's complaining. I've not heard a negative thing, to be honest with you. But I'm just saying the place doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Notice verse 21, As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Now, you have to understand in verse 20, Ornan saw the angel too, and his four sons with him hid themselves. It's amazing when you see the death angel and you see what he's doing and you know you've already heard the news, 70,000 have already died. It's amazing how it got Ornan's attention. I'm trying to get your attention today. Your attention has been on souls before. Your attention has been on those that are lost before. But I really am trying to get your attention today that you understand that there is a death angel taking people to hell because of sin that don't have to go to hell. Nobody has to go to hell. You're here today without Christ. You've never been saved. You don't have to go to hell. You can be saved today, and I hope you will get saved today. But it got Ornan's attention. And as David came to Ornan, verse 21, Ornan looked and saw David, went out of the threshing floor, bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Of course, David's the king. And then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price that the plague may be stayed from the people. He said, I've got to have, God said to do this, I've got to have this. Got to have this place. What is a threshing floor anyway? It is a flat rock that is about 50 feet square and has some sort of a building built around it. And literally, the oxen walk around on this flat rock and trample out whatever the grain is and separate the wheat or the grain from the chaff. And they just, that's what they do. They just walk around. Clump, 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 clump. And they're just walking around and stomping, trampling on whatever grain there might be there, getting rid of the chaff as best they can. You're telling me that's eventually the temple? Yeah, that's where the temple would be built. But before it ever was a temple, it was an altar. Yeah, it amazes me. Understand this. God can use any place. Any place. Doesn't matter to God. And by the way, it is also true, he can use anybody. Any person God can use. I love that. He can use any person. Anybody. Doesn't matter what you've done today. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter your life and your past. And everything. Do you understand? Moses was a murderer. We don't ever like to talk about that. We would love to just kind of avoid all that stuff. I'm so glad that the Bible tells it like it is. Amen. I am so glad to know that Moses was a flop. Yeah. David. Here's David. You know. Well, this is all counting on old David, huh? Yeah, and David was an adulterer who committed murder. Now, I'm not telling you. I don't think you ought to go out and do that. I don't think you ought to go out and do wicked things. I'm just telling you, if you did, and if you have, you're just like everybody. We're all sinners. God can use you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Matthew was a crooked thief of a tax collector. Yeah, he worked for the IRS. Oh, yeah, he's worse than the rest of them. Well, we won't get into that, but did God use him or not? Sure he did. Saul persecuted Christians. Saul, who became Paul, one of my favorite people in the Bible. God used him to write so many books in the New Testament. Saul? Yeah. When Stephen died, Saul gave the order to kill him. Huh? You know, if God will use them, and the list goes on and on and on, if God would use them, he'll use you. He can use anybody, just like he can use any place. There's too much emphasis on the place where we meet God instead of on who we're meeting. You know, we have all these ornate buildings and temples and structures. And I'm not saying it shouldn't be nice. The temple, the Bible says, was magnifical. I don't even know how you describe that. It was so beautiful. But the truth of the matter is, the main thing is the being able to meet with God. Adam met with God in a garden. Noah met with God in a boat. Abraham met with God under the stars so that God could somehow convey to him how great of a nation he would become. Jacob met with God with a pile of rocks. Moses met with God at a bush. Daniel met with God in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego met with God in a burning, fiery furnace. Jonah had a great meeting with God inside a whale's belly. Jeremiah met with God in a dungeon. Zacchaeus met with God up a tree. Saul met with God on the road to Damascus on his way to kill Christians. You see, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered together, there am I in the midst. What do you mean, two or more gathered? That means if it's a threshing floor, praise God. If it's a barn, praise God. If it's a warehouse, praise God. If it's out in the field, praise God. Because the qualifications, two or more gathered together. But I've met with God many, many, many times, just me. I think of Ben Turner, you know, one of our missionaries. Set up, take down, set up, take down, set up, take down, set up, take down. I've done it. We did it. You know? People meet in the woods. People meet in barns. People meet in stables. You think it smelled bad at the threshing floor? People meet in churches that are buildings that smell a whole lot worse than the threshing floor did. People meet in grain elevators. People meet in warehouses. People meet in dance halls. People meet in movie theaters. People meet in houses. People meet in tents. People meet out in fields. People meet in motel lobbies. Brother Denias, their land, they built a fence. They've got the fence built. For all that time while they're building that fence, Brother Denias has been sleeping in a tent out in the middle of the field and had his people come every now and then. And I'm sure they have a wonderful, wonderful time with God. With a tent. We started our church in Bern, Indiana, in the basement of a library. You know, somebody made me a little sign, and it said Reverend Doug Rogers. Are you impressed? And anyway, it had Faith Baptist Church, independent, fundamental, soul winning, Bible believing. I think something like that. And that little sign, we set that in front of the library every Sunday, and we had to set up and we had to tear down. And the floor had about that much dirt that we had to try to mop up. When we first started mopping that floor in the basement of the library, when we set the mop down in it, it became mud. It was that bad. Every week, just like Ben, every week, set up, take down, set up, take down, set up a little nursery in the back. Little basement of the library had a little carpet down there and put chairs around it. And moms would bring their children, and we had beds as best we could, little mattress things as best we could, and that was our nursery there in the basement of the library. And what'd we do? We tried to stop the plague. Are you listening? That was the whole idea. When to go to church, you walked in a sign that said men. To your right was the men's restroom. Then you went downstairs into the basement. Everybody who came to our church walked in, it said men. They walked out, it said ladies. I'm serious. because the ladies' restroom was on the other side. And so you'd go in, you'd have church, you'd come out, and you'd go in a man, you'd come out, no. But, boy, there'd be a lot of folks interested in that today. But we, you know, that's what was the, but who cares? And we didn't care. You know why? Because we were trying to stop the plague. That's all that mattered. Nothing else mattered. We're just trying to stop the plague. And so the first service we had 32 people in that service came. And we couldn't believe. We couldn't believe those people actually brought their children. And they were in that little nursery area. Some of them, we had little three-year-olds, and they're running around. And we did our very best to mop up the mud. But that's just how it was. And that's where we met for the first service. We had 32. We bought a storefront building, a plumbing and heating building, that literally when it rained, it poured. Kind of like the foyer upstairs. I mean, seriously, it was a flat roof. I hated flat roofs then. I've never loved a flat roof since. And the roof leaked. And we remodeled it, and the roof leaked. We remodeled. I remember some services we would have, we got plastic and we put it up above the drop ceiling, and we had holes there and we put buckets across the grid, and literally we caught as much rain as we could. It's just how it was. It was a plumbing and heating building. But you know what we did? We didn't care. Why? Because we're trying to stop the plague. That was the most important thing. You know, when will God's people get back to the idea that the main thing is stopping the plague? Amen. We started our Christian school, and we met in a house. It was a White House. We called it the White House. Seriously. What was the idea, though? The idea was stop the plague. The idea was, hey, God has a job for us to do, something for us to do, and we don't care. And the kids played dodgeball with rolled up, wadded up paper, and they played on the little front porch of the White House. That's just what you do. And we started with 32. Then we bought a farm equipment building, and when we bought it, everybody laughed and said, no business has ever survived. It had been a store. It had been two stores. They closed down, went bankrupt, and then it became a farm equipment building, and they said no business has ever survived. I'll never forget laughing over that very thing, because we don't, who cares? You know, well, that doesn't look like a church. The people are the church. It doesn't matter where you meet. It's who meets. It's what we're doing when we meet. And I remember thinking, I know why those businesses didn't make it. Because we were supposed to be there as a church. And we were going to stop the plague. And then when we left, started with nobody. First service, we had 32. When we left, we had over 300 in our last service. And I still can remember the people saying, no business has ever made it. And by the way, to this day, Faith Baptist Church is still there on that corner of 700 and U.S. 27, and just going strong. But it was, you got it, folks, it's not about how pretty. It's nice to have pretty. And we have a beautiful auditorium up there. That's not what, here's what it's about. It's about stopping the plague. It's always been about stopping the plague. We've had church in a banquet hall before, where we had to set up and take down every Sunday morning. Had to set it up every Sunday night. We had to take it down. We ran probably 350, something like that, in a banquet hall in Flint area, and we would come in to the banquet hall to set up, and the night before they had a drunken party. I remember many times coming in, and there were beer stains on the floor where people danced. And at the altar, there were beer stains. In fact, we had many of our people knelt at that spot. No, but I'm just saying, you know, you say, how can you ever? Because it's not about the place. Amen. It's about stopping the plague. We met in what had been a funeral home. You know, you can't imagine all the jokes about having church in a funeral home. Well, your services are dead. You know, and you just. You know, because the place is not important. You know, here's the thing. Now we may say, well, this is just temporary, but understand, this is the place. right now. It's the place. It's no different than God saying to David, I want you to buy that threshing floor, and I want you to set up an altar there. Okay, God said to us, he said, okay, here's the place. It's a beautiful place, but this is the place. And you understand the rapture could take place with us in the fellowship hall. I think you have to have stained glass for the rapture. It doesn't matter. You know, what if the greatest event other than the coming of Jesus Christ to die for our sins, what if that takes, and we get to heaven and everybody says, well, where were you folks? Well, we were down in our fellowship hall. It doesn't matter. Are you? You know what the question is going to be? Did you do what you could to stop the plague? Amen. Brother Chuck, he could tell you some good stories. You ought to talk to him sometime. But this right here, this is where Berean, on this property, this is where it started right here, in this room, where you sit right now. But it didn't look like this, did it, Chuck? Not even close. There was nothing above. There was no building above. It was just this basement wing. That's how they built it. That's how it started. The walls weren't this pretty, were they? It was just old block wall. Yeah? Yeah. And there was nothing above. And that first winter of Berean Baptist Church, it was very, very cold in this building. I love these stories, you know, because it was somebody else. But... because there was nothing above, and so a farmer, somebody, brought sawdust and poured over the top. Are you listening? Poured it over the top. Again, there was no building above here. It was just the concrete that would be the slab. And they poured sawdust all on that and provided some insulation until it rained. And then the sawdust and the rain mixed, and it made everything brown, streaks pretty much everywhere, right? Wasn't that beautiful? But see, here's what happened. People heard that they didn't have to go to hell. And they heard that Jesus loved them. And they heard there was a way to stop the plague. Whew. And people got saved and lives got changed. Why? Well, because somebody set up the altar. Doesn't matter where. They just set up the altar, as God said. And just like the threshing floor, the altar had to be built. And it had been used to separate the grain and the chaff. And you know, the Bible separates possessors and pretenders. And when you preach that Bible, people find out which one they are, if they're saved or if they're lost. When you preach the Word of God, people can learn, they can know whether they're saved or whether they're lost. And you know what? Verse 27, the Lord commanded the angel and he put up his sword. And every time somebody prays and trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, the old death angel has to put away his sword because that person's not going to go to hell. Every time, little child over there, every time they bow their head and they call upon Jesus to save them, the old devil got to put away that sword. And that's what it's all about. I close with verse 23. I love what Ornan said. And you ought to circle it, underline it, put little stars beside it. Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, the threshing instruments for wood, the wheat for the meat offering. But look what he said, and I love this. I give it all. I give it all. Why? Because we got to stop the plague. God, whatever I have is yours. Quit. Let's quit worrying about all the peripheral stuff. Let's just understand that the plague has to be stopped. And every one of us, we just need to say, God, I give it all. Whatever I can do, whatever I have, whatever you need from me, God, I let you have it all to stop the plague.